everybody. My name's Sean Roberts, and welcome to our first ever Weekend Note podcast. We want to reach more of you with our news, so we're going to try this method, and we really hope you like it. Today, I'm going to be talking about the changes we're going to see in the upper school for next year, and with me for that is Shalini Soot. Hi, Shalini.
Hello, Sean.
And Mr. Ed Parker. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Shalini.
If you don't know my guests, Shalini is our maths teacher in the NYP and also takes care of data, timetable and budget backstage. And Mr. Parker, over a long and distinguished career in school, has been a deputy principal, a program principal, and is currently taking care of our AI and accreditation initiatives in the whole school. We're going to start with the change to the timetable. Next year, we've designed a new timetable. There are a bunch of new features, which we think you'll really like. But before we get too into those details, we're going to talk about the grid itself, because there are some changes. So, Shalini, what could you tell us about the start and finish times for next year?
So next year, the school's going to start as usual at 8 o'clock for the secondary students, but it would end at 3:20 instead of 3:30 on a Monday, Wednesday and a Thursday. And Tuesdays, the students had a shorter day, which was until 14:45. And that's going to change to, again, 3:20 on a Tuesday. So to just make it more simple for everybody to understand, they'll have regular school day from Monday to Thursday from 8 to 3:20, and on a Friday they'll have a shorter day until 14:45.
Oh, so that's good news then, because we still have that kind of, we can still go into the weekend a little bit earlier than normal. What about in the mornings? What's happening there?
So we've come up with a new concept, which is actually, we got the idea, the name of the idea from the students itself, because they have the podcast, which is the Pulse Point, is what we would call our morning session. That is the Pulse Point, where the students would come in to school at from 8 to 8:30. They'll have that Pulse Point time.
But the start time is the same as last year, or...?
So last year, the students were supposed to be in their registration until 10 past 8. Now we've changed that to 8. All students should be in school by 8 o'clock, because registration would start at 8 o'clock.
But I think the good news for students is they feel like they're getting in school a bit earlier, but we will be opening the kiosk.
Oh, yes.
So the kiosk is going to be open, because we want that first start of the day to feel very differently. We're going to go into this in more detail later. But I wanted just to ask Shalini one question. Shalini, what about grade 11? What can they expect next year?
Yes. For grade 11s and even 12s, we are extending their morning session. So their school wouldn't start for them at 8 in the morning. They can be there in school at 8:30. So it's not mandatory for them to be at 8 o'clock, because I'm pretty sure they would like to sleep longer in the morning. So that's the change that we have for them. But we've got a good news for all the secondary students. We'll have a longer breakfast break, because that's what we were hearing from them in the past few years, that they found the 30 minutes break time very short. So we've adjusted that and they would have a 45 minutes breakfast break.
Great. Is there any bad news for the grade 11s that you'd want to share?
Yes. Unfortunately, the grade 11s, because of the number of required lessons for them, they would have school until 16:05, which is 4:05. But we are trying our best to bring that down on a Friday, so you'll have an early finish as the others at 14:45.
And I think Shalini's saying you, because our production crew today is next year's
DP1
team.
Yes, and I'm just looking at them.
So you feel the heat of their. But it's not too bad, right? Because they start later and then they finish later. So actually, I think in the end, and it's a one-year gig. In DP2, it goes back to the same as the rest of the school.
That's correct.
Okay. What we're very proud of, or what I'm very proud of next year, is something we're calling Pulse Point, which is a nod to our CIS Pulse, which is the student podcast, which you all listen to every Monday morning, drive time. We're calling it that because this is something where we want to take the pulse, not literally, the pulse of the students. We want to have a check-in with them every day. We'll do registration in the Pulse Point. We'll do a well-being check-in, so students are able to let us know a bit about their how they're feeling. And some of the things that were in the later in the school day will happen as well during this Pulse Point. What I forgot to mention, and I think what is really cool about this, is that the Pulse Point has all students together in the Mensa. So, Ed, what do you see the advantages of having all the students together in the Mensa in the morning? What kind of things do you think we'll be doing with them?
Well, what we'll be able to do is catch up on their well-being.
Yep.
We'll be able to, if we're working with them on a personal project and we're their supervisor, we're going to be able to catch up with them there, give them a reflection session. I work with the older students for their extended essays, and that will be a time when I don't have to get the students out of a lesson if I need to do some target setting, need to help them with their citations. So really, my colleagues and I have got a chance to give targeted help to the students when they need it, when they're all in one space, so we don't have to run around the campus.
And I think that's really important. And I even see more opportunities with this because we have all the students together. The older students would be able to, for their CAS points, would be able to, for example, do coaching or tutoring with the younger kids. And I'm really looking forward to developing what in education terms we would call a vertical relationship, a relationship where kids from different grades are able to develop closer ties together. I think that's really important. Shalini, at the moment we have ILT, which is individual learning time, and clinics later in the day. How are we going to get that into the Pulse Point in the mornings?
So we'll have specialist teachers at that time who would be running their sessions. And if you've got, because I teach maths, and if you've got any maths, if you need any maths support, I'll be there. There'll be other teachers. We'll have EAL support, GAL support. So we'll be offering support in all subjects in the morning. And it would be something similar to the clinics that we've had over the years in the afternoons. And what I just wanted to add to what Sean, you and Ed mentioned was we would be able to involve our DP students during the assembly time, because that was missing in the last years. And I think Pulse Point on a Friday, we have the DP1s and DP2s who would be able to attend the assemblies too. So it's a good way of getting
So I think
them.
Together we look upon this as an opportunity to really supercharge the community feeling amongst the students. And for that, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And there are other possibilities not yet implemented, but we do see the chance for the older kids to have some relationship with the primary school kids who are also in the Mensa earlier in the morning. So all in all, we're very excited to see this happen. Another thing that's going to happen partially in the Pulse Point is the Mario Education Wellbeing Check-In. This is something that is a response to what we see increasingly globally, which is the challenges on mental health and emotional health for students, and that's something we take extremely seriously. So what the well-being check-in will involve is each morning, every single student will do a well-being check-in, and this is a digital check-in, takes about 2 to 3 minutes, and then it collects information about how students are feeling. We're going to have Dr. Ross with us so that if there are students with particularly strong emotional needs that day, she'll be able to respond immediately. And then actually all other students will receive a coach. The coaches will be our teachers, and they're going to have up to 12 kids each. And they're going to, on a regular rolling basis, check in with them, have an interview about how they're feeling on a range of topics that directly connect to their well-being. We don't want, for example, in the homeroom system, which is our old outgoing system, a teacher would have up to 24 people in the class. And sometimes the quiet ones get overlooked because they're not demanding attention. And we want to change that. So we're very excited to see how Mario Education enables us to improve well-being of students. Okay, next on our list for today is AI. In the last 2 years, it's been one of the core parts of our strategic plan to implement AI, artificial intelligence, in ways that is ethical, but actually drives the individualization of student learning and frees up teacher time. I'm going to ask Ed if he would give us an update on that.
So it's been a fantastic opportunity this year to work with colleagues, to work with students on using technology to enhance learning. So it does involve artificial intelligence, but not only, because the most important thing that we're wanting to do is to personalize learning so that we're not teaching to the middle of our classes as teachers. We've got all different levels of learning. And that's really possible with technology. So you can create differentiated learning resources as a teacher that matches the ability, but also the interests. You can create, using the same content, different materials for different groups of students. And that's a fantastic opportunity. Also, we're using the technology to provide adaptive learning experiences. For example, we brought in an app called Century that doesn't make up the questions, it doesn't make up the content, it's not that type of AI. It's similar to Spotify. It looks at what has gone before, at what the student was able to do, and predicts what it needs to, what he or she needs to do next.
Or they
need to do next. And so it's a great system for that. Other AI we've been using is something called Magic School. And most of the consumers this year have been teachers using AI to streamline their workload, to produce better learning resources. And also we're starting to use AI to give feedback to the students, because often teachers are the best resource, but we're the traffic jam that people are waiting for to get good feedback on the work they've done so that all learners know what's coming next. So we're trying to reduce that traffic jam using technology. The next stage, though, is going to involve the students much more, because we want them to be using AI ethically, responsibly, not copying uncritically what they find in ChatGPT or Magic School, but using the technology intelligently in the same way that we hope they're going to be using it when they get to university and when they get to work. And we're all going to be using it in a positive way, in my vision, next year. So
that's, and your vision is the school's vision. We see it through your eyes, all four of them.
I've just put my glasses back on, so yes.
And I think anybody using ChatGPT during Pulse Point would be really visible.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Pulse Point is an opportunity for good oversight on topics like that. Thanks for that, Ed. Okay, we're going to move on to the next topic, which is community. The reason we're doing this podcast right now is because we are working to reach out to you, our community. And for that can be parents, it can be students or anyone else connected to the school. So I'd like to just put out a big appeal. If you haven't already signed up for Classlist, please sign up for Classlist. We post lovely pictures of all events that we can't post on external social media. There's opportunities for you to contact other parent groups. There's a market there, interest groups around things like art and Chardonnay and the big band and future stuff like that. So Classlist, we would like to develop that to be really a hub for our community, which is quite often spread around. And so that's quite important.
But I've signed up.
You've signed up. Good. That's good.
I've even posted something.
What did you post?
Oh, it was a message for parents, hoping that would be a change from the usual manage back diet.
Yeah, that's it.
I feed them.
Yeah, we know parents, we know Manage Back is a lot of is an avalanche of males, and we're working on that with your parent reps. So the parent reps are a big part of what we how we reach out to you, and we're really pleased that in the last 2 or 3 months we've begun to meet with the parent reps from all programs, PYP, MYP, DP, all of them together, so that we really foster this one school vision that we have. And alongside that, and pretty much not interchangeable, but kind of in a Venn diagram overlapping, we have the PTA, the wonderful PTA who do so many events. And actually, I have to put my hand up and say I'm owed a PTA. I've got to do a PTA event because we talked about the Curry Club. And okay. For one reason or another, the Curry Club hasn't started off this year. So look out for the Curry Club next year. But there's also the summer kickoff, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, the bowling nights, the coffee mornings. Come along. We're a nice bunch of people, and we would love to have more of you involved to share our experiences.
And it's a nice opportunity to see the parents at school.
And the coffee is really good on coffee mornings. Oh, yeah. And there's always cookies and stuff like that too. So it's a good start to the day. Kids are welcome too. Say that to our engineers in the background. Not forgetting the kids, I think one initiative that's gone really well in the last couple of years is the Goat Gazette. I think everybody looks at the Goat Gazette, everybody reads the Goat Gazette. So we're looking forward as a school to help the Goat Gazette, and I'm looking at the Goat Gazette square in the eyes right now, help them. We'd like to see them do a little bit more engagement with the primary school, and we've got some ideas for that. So there are some editorial meetings in the pipeline, I would say. And then, of course, also the CIS Pulse, which is our regular podcast, which we hope you're in the habit of listening to. But if you're not, look out. We post it every Monday morning. It's often a hoot, as we say. It's a good laugh, often, especially you get Mr. Riccio in there trying to pronounce youth words and things like this. So, you know, it's not dry content. It's pretty good fun. Please check them out. Okay, one final point for today is the big project for at least the first half of next year is our Council of International Schools self-study. And this is a process we have to go through as the final part before we are finally fully accredited. Mr. P, what can you tell us about the state of play with the self-study?
Well, first of all, thanks to the whole community. So in March, we had a visit from two employees and a volunteer from the Council of International Schools, and they came to visit the school, visit some lessons, talk to parents, students, faculty, support staff, the Board of Governors, and find out whether what's going on in our school is the same as Ed Parker wrote in all the documents he prepared. And they came, they saw, and they said some really positive things about the school, about the calm atmosphere, about the parents who are so supportive of what we do. They loved speaking to the students. That's always their favourite part of any visit, but certainly was a great part of the visit to our school. So that was the visit in March. And after that, we're officially a candidate school for accreditation. Before we start the next stage, which is called a self-study, where we gather lots of evidence to meet the standards that any excellent school has to follow, we need to collect more data from the stakeholders, from the parents, from the faculty, from the students, from alumni. And we took part in a survey, rather, you took part in a survey for which we're really, really grateful. So we had 320 students taking part, 170 parents, and 80 teachers, 30 alumni. We even managed to track down 30 people who left the school a few years ago. And we asked them similar questions about our mission and vision, about leadership at the school, about the curriculum, about learning and teaching, certainly about well-being, not only for students, but for all members of the community, about staffing, what it's like to work at the school, about the building, the facilities, the internet connection, and about community, and of course, about our boarding school. And so all of these stakeholders gave responses to statements and were so grateful because certainly for parents, I think there were almost 100 statements. So it's fantastic that you managed to answer those. And so we've taken the data, we've put them together, we've got some initial feedback, and some of the key strengths mentioned by all of the stakeholders was that we share the same sense of purpose, that we've got a safe and respectful campus, that learning is engaging, it's multicultural, and that we've got robust facilities and technology. And so these are all things that we need to be celebrating together as we move forward. Now, telling us how good we are isn't going to help us to improve.
That's the easy part, right? That's the tummy tickling.
So there is some more that goes beyond tummy tickling, Sean. And and so, for example, they're wanting us to think about how we communicate as a school some of the decisions we're making. They're wanting us to articulate clearly who we support for inclusion in learning and why we do it and how we do it. Yep. Another area is in college and career counseling, how we do that, yep, how we deliver it so that everyone's got a pathway that they know they can follow throughout school and after school.
Yep.
I'm going to say it, food quality came up.
Always. And I think, though, it's important to say, I'm sorry, parents, because I know this is a hot topic, but I'm going to say this is always a topic. And we're looking at it. I know with the parent reps, particularly in the primary, we've been looking at it recently. And I will say that in all the years we've been doing this, even when we used to get the food delivered from the chefs in the golf club, we never really got 100% approval. But what we can say about our kitchen now is they're open to all our suggestions. They're developing menus. They're looking at waste and topics like that. So I know food is a topic, but I'm just going to put a little protection shield around our wonderful kitchen at the same time.
And I like eating there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the areas that we knew we need to work on is how we develop our colleagues, how we work together, how we all set goals that are ambitious that we can meet to grow as professionals. So we are doing that, and we got some advice, not only that we need to do that, but some great advice on how we can do that, which we're going to be implementing there.
Yeah.
And so that was just some feedback on some of the things that some of them we knew we had to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But getting visitors in who have a fresh pair of eyes and also hearing from hundreds of stakeholders about what they think about daily experience or past experience at the school, that's really helped us.
No, I agree. And I think that's really the power of accreditation. It's like you get this kind of 360 look at the school. Everybody's a critical friend. It's supporting, it's constructive. And I think with the partners we have with this, with the Council of International Schools, with NEASC, the New England Association of Schools and Colleges, and also with the IB itself, this collection of oversight that we have is first class worldwide. So I think it's a really exciting process to be in. Okay, so we're going to try and wrap that up. We've managed to rack up 25 minutes of chit-chat. We hope you more or less enjoy it. I think Shalini's got something to say.
It's just a new way of communicating our decision-making, which was proof from one of your, which was one of the outcomes. And this is a new way of us communicating to you parents that we'll have a new timetable structure starting the next school year, which is August onwards.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I would say that the reason we're doing it like this is a little bit because we've been prompted to by our parent reps, our wonderful parent reps. So we thank all those people that are continually giving us guidance, support and understanding to bring the school ever forwards so that we are providing the absolute best education we can for our kids. That's all for us from now. We will look forward to your feedback. What I'll do is when I post this, I'm going to give you an opportunity for an online Q&A session in a week or so. So If you have questions or if these topics of you want more information, there'll be an opportunity to speak with us live very shortly through a Google Meet. For me, thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
And bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.